Britain.
Labour and Business. Reina of Terror. Labour's deputy leader is entertaining but, to some, alarming.
Bolshy, gobby, blunt, feisty, mouthy, scumbag. Angela Reina, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, has been called a lot of things, not all of which are nice. She has even, and here perhaps a trigger warning is required, been called ginger. She can give as good as she gets. She once called some Tories scum. She recently described Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, as a pint-sized loser. That Ms. Reina receives such attention is a victory. Most of the Labour shadow cabinet remain just that, shadowy. Ms. Reina, by contrast, stands out, literally. She is tall. Visually, she has unarguably red hair, and verbally. Whereas Sir Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, utters phrases like economic growth is the absolute foundational stone for everything, Ms. Reina tends to say things like, I had my boob job on my 30th birthday, because my boobs just look like two boiled eggs in socks. She causes conniptions. If what she says flusters some, what she has not yet said flusters others. Her political future is not assured. The question of how much capital gains tax she should have paid on the sale of a council house in Stockport looks increasingly serious. A police investigation has begun, and Ms. Reina says she will step down if it finds she has committed an offence. But if she is cleared, her probable next job will be Deputy Prime Minister in a Labour government. And although a great deal is known about her personally, from her first proper job as a carer to that boob job, paid for with a £5,600 or $7,030 loan, how she would approach this role is much less clear. She has said that she will be John Prescott in a skirt, a reference to the plain-spoken Deputy Prime Minister to Sir Tony Blair. Her remit includes the party's sweeping plans to bolster workers' rights. But politically, she feels elusive. There are complaints that she has been absent from the smoked salmon offensive at which Labour has buttered up businesses over breakfast. Is she locked in a cupboard? Asks one FTSE 100 boss. Her ideological leanings are hard to pin down. Ms. Reina is clearly left-wing, but how left? Is she Corbynist or Starmerist? Marxist or, Southerners often confuse the two, merely Northern? She is more centre-left, soft-left, says Peter Mandelson, a Labour grandee. She's not hard-left. Others imply that she lacks an ideology. The word ambitious recurs. Michael Ashcroft, a Tory peer and author of a critical, unauthorised biography of her, goes further. Some colleagues, he says, call her a political opportunist. So neither Marxist nor Corbynist, but Angela Reinerist. She has cause to be happy in her own skin. Her life is impressive. She grew up in Stockport, a town in Greater Manchester that Friedrich Engels, sounding rather less united with the workers of the world than usual, called excessively repellent. Home offered concrete floors, cold water, and an illiterate mother. Other politicians are affluent enough not to know the cost of a pint of milk. Dairy was, at times, a luxury for Ms. Reina. Her mother once gave them shaving foam as cream, because she couldn't read the label. By the time Ms. Reina sat her GCSEs, she was pregnant. Her childhood was, in short, personally unenviable and politically invaluable. She once said that she has been treated as a trinket. Certainly to Labour, Ms. Reina is more than merely Ange. She is proof that the party that claims to be not just of working people but for working people still is that. She attracts the adjective real, as if the middle classes were mere mythology, which Labour, embarrassed by how bourgeois it has become, sometimes seems to wish they were. Her political rise was rapid. A spell as a trade union representative led to her becoming an MP in 2015 and a position on the Labour front benches just over a year later. Watch her speak or read interviews with her, and it is easy to see why. She is charismatic and clever. Where other politicians fudge and waffle, she talks about how she ate chips with chips as a child and became a grandma at 37. Interviewers often transcribe her speech with exclamation marks, which can give it an alarming feel. It is a notable change from Sir Keir. He is clearly more a semicolon sort of man. There are criticisms. She likes to play to a crowd, and British politics has enough crowd pleasers. Some argue that the grim up northernness is overdone, or, as one left-wing commentator put it, stuff your backstory. But the criticism has its own critics. Many detect misogyny in the terms, good and bad, that people use about her. Words such as feisty, broadly speaking, used to mean a woman who speaks, gobby, a northern woman who does, and trinket, an attractive one who, ditto, are not unloaded. Ambitious is a notorious misogynist mantrap. The more worrying criticism is that she is politically opaque. Though to win the next election, it seems that all Labour needs to do is to continue not being the Tories and not saying anything egregious. Ms. Rayner once said, "I don't know when to shut up." Arguably, it seems she does.